This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, May the 27th, another day and more news of this strife between Major League Baseball owners and players, and a lot to dive into today. MLB yesterday gave a proposal on the economics of the return to play to the Players Association, and let's just say it was not well received. We'll get into that in a minute. Look, I think this is probably what we talk about all week. I'm going to hopefully Friday we can talk a little Roy Halladay with the 10-year anniversary of The Perfect Game and the documentary coming out that night and all that type of docuseries, whatever it's called, the E60 piece. But I think this right now just dominating the conversation, rightfully so. Let me, off the top, before we dive into it, I'm weary at this point. I'm so tired of my favorite sport having a public battle over money when the country is dealing with a global pandemic and people are dying and many, many people have lost their jobs and many people have had salary cut and all that type of stuff. It's getting really old. Like, it is getting to the point where, I mean, they've ruined it already. I mean, like, obviously we want baseball back and, you know, obviously it could be ruined worse, but I mean, they ruined any chance they had for this to be some sort of, you know, heroic return to sports. Like, wow, back baseball, America, we're back. Like, it's all out the window. That's gone. Like, no matter how they come back, no matter how they figure this out, this is a taste that will not come out of our mouths easily. I mean, everyone involved should be embarrassed. Major League Baseball should be embarrassed. The players should be embarrassed. The owners should be embarrassed. More the owners than the players. But everyone should be embarrassed with the way they've handled this situation, the way they've done it so publicly. You look at the NBA, NHL. I mean, you know, they're putting their plans to return together and stuff. And you don't hear a word about money. And I know it's a completely different situation. They've already played the majority of their season, so they're getting paid. And it's a totally different situation. But at the same time, like, all it does is magnify how bad baseball looks right now. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. As someone whose favorite sport, far and away, easily, is baseball, it's my favorite sport. Like, it's the sport I care the most about. It's why we're here talking about it, why you're listening. You know, we all love baseball, and it's just been so incredibly disappointing watching how this has played out and following how this has played out. And, you know, I think that that's the biggest takeaway from all of this is disappointment and embarrassment as a baseball fan for them, for how they've handled this, considering the time and the situation. And that's my general overall thought. I'm sure we'll talk more about that in the coming days and weeks and all that, but on a basic level. And I want them to figure it out, and they better figure it out. And I still believe they will figure it out. But, man, just a horrible look on all sides. All right, let's dive into what happened yesterday. As usual, we'll use a Jeff Passan article to help us get through it and kind of get the finer points of it, but on a basic level. The owners made their economic proposal to the players. Of course, there's still time to negotiate. June 1st is the deadline that's been set, and apparently it's even a soft deadline. It's June 5th through the 10th is the more firm deadline you hear. So they have time to negotiate this, a little bit of time, obviously, a week or so. But, man, not great. The owner's proposal, players say extremely disappointed, has been one of the phrases that's been used. The title of the article we'll look at from Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers says, sources, players balk at MLB's proposal to cut salaries. As we know, heading into this proposal, there's been a lot of talk about the potential for a revenue share system. The players said they weren't going to do that. The owners seemingly have backed off of that and instead have decided to divide and conquer, decided to try and pit the union against each other by offering a plan that is based heavily on cutting the money from the highest paid players and less so from the lower paid players. It is a strategy that worked really well for the NFL and their collective bargaining agreement that they came to this offseason, right before, right around when coronavirus was starting to take take shape in America and become a thing. They were able to pit the lower paid players against the stars. The stars didn't want to do the deal. The lower paid players did, and the deal got done. It's a very similar approach here from the owners. Let's dive into the article, and we'll go through it piece by piece. Passan writes, Major League Baseball drew the ire of the Players Union Tuesday with an economic proposal that caused for a significant cut in salaries that would affect all players and particularly the game's highest paid, sources familiar with the proposal told ESPN. The long-awaited plan, the first volley in an expected back and forth that will determine whether baseball returns in 2020, proposed a marginal salary structure in which the lowest paid players would receive close to a full share of their prorated salary and the game stars receive far less than expected. So as we discussed, we'll get into the specifics of it, but the idea being that, hey, all right, we'll just take money from the highly paid players. How about that? And then the lower paid players can still get paid. And 65% of players in baseball make $1 million or less. You know what I mean? That's a significant number, a lot more than I think people realize that the vast majority of players in the players' unions are not the high-paid players. All right, the article goes on. Players immediately bristled at the proposal, which includes an 82-game schedule that begin in early July and after a 21-day spring training, sources familiar with the plan said. So that all jives with stuff that we knew, the 82-game schedule, early July, spring training two before that. Teams will play three exhibition games in the final week before starting a regular season that would finish September 27th. The quote-unquote, a statement, this is from the Players Association to ESPN, quote-unquote, the proposal involves massive additional pay cuts, and the union is extremely disappointed. We're also far apart on health and safety protocols. So that's just a little add in there. We've come to discuss this as strictly the economic issues. The economics, this is economics, and if the health and safety protocols are not viable for the players, then it's an even bigger issue. I mean, that's the number one thing we've talked about, and you know where I stand. I'm not going to dive, and it'll come up and stuff, but you know that I'm firmly on the player side in this public dispute. Right now, I'm on no one's side. That's kind of where I'm at, as you can kind of tell from what I was saying before. I'm out on everybody. Like, I'm just not happy with anyone right now, but I do think the owners have really done the players dirty here, agreeing to a prorated salary, then coming back and saying, no fans in the stands, even though they knew that the likelihood of fans in the stands when they agreed to that was incredibly low. And yet they've come back now and are just trying to really lowball the players here. And, I feel owners assume risk. You're the owner of a baseball team. You have the chance to own a team for 30 years. A player has a chance to play baseball for 10 years if they're lucky. Maybe 15 for the long-term guys, but most guys, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is. That's your highest earning power. That's what you get for your life. Billionaires who own baseball teams, a lot of times it's not even their primary business. They're billionaires on other ways and then own a baseball team. The Kansas City Royals just sold for $1 billion. The Royals, the owners are doing just fine. And the fact that in this case they've I just have been really incredibly disappointed with the owners and how they've handled this, without Major League Baseball has handled this. Okay, the article goes on. The union is expected to reject the plan and counter in the coming days with a proposal that could include a longer season, sources said. The league's proposal, which includes bonuses if postseason games are played, offers lower salaried players a higher percentage of their expected wages, and will give some of the game's biggest stars a fractional cut of their salaries. The formula the league offered, for example, would take a player scheduled to make the league minimum $563,500 and give him a prorated salary based on 82 games of $285,228 and take a 10% cut of that figure, leaving him with $256,706. So, for example, if you were supposed to make $563,500 up to $1 million would be paid at 72.5%. You would get $1 million up to $5 million paid at 50%. $5 million up to $10 million at 40%. Then 30% for someone up to $20 million paid 10 to 20, and then someone over $20 million it would be 20%. Of their salary is what they get. Under this formula, Los Angeles Angels star Mike Trout, who at $37,666,666 has the highest full season salary in baseball this year and would make $19 million, a little over $19 million on a prorated basis over 82 games, would have a base salary of $5,748,577. So in the prorated plan that the owners agreed to, Mike Trout would have made $19 million. In this plan, he's going to make 5.7. $19 million that the owners agreed to in March to $5 million. And look, I know these are all millions of dollars. I mean, it's hard to feel any sympathy for anyone when we're talking about $5 million. I mean, are you kidding me? But at the same time, the owners are worth billions. That's the problem with this whole situation, is millionaires versus billionaires, and there's no good side to be on in terms of feeling sorry for anyone. You don't. But the players are assuming all the risk. Are the ones taking the biggest hits? And also, just I understand why they're doing it. I think it's a smart strategy by the owners, if we're, you know, forgetting the how much I hate what they're doing. I think from their perspective, I get it. I think it's smart in the sense that they're trying to divide and conquer. They're trying to cull enough momentum for what they want from the lower tier, lower paid players, so that the other players are kind of forced into action. I think they're underestimating how strong the players' union is, top to bottom. How fervently baseball players believe in the players' union. I mean, and there is a reason it's one of the strongest unions in the country, period. Might be the strongest union in America. It's like, legitimately, it's that kind of union. And I don't see them cracking in this situation. I don't see there being enough of a groundswell of support, especially because a lot of those players are still represented by agents who also represent the big players, the big-time players, too. So I don't know how much support they're going to garner, the owners. I don't think it's going to be as much as they expect. And I also think the whole idea of taking shots at the people who make you your money in your sport on a long-term basis, taking shots at the faces of the sport, the guys who are supposed to be the stars that you're supposed to build up and turn into money-making machines for you down the road, those are the guys you're going after? You're taking shots at the faces of baseball. You're trying to anger, though. It makes no sense. I get it from the divide and conquer perspective. I hate it and think it's stupid from everything else. Going on. The proposal includes $200 million in playoff bonuses, $25 million for the completion of the Division Series, $50 million for the League's Championship Series, and $125 million for the World Series. A significant amount of the bonuses would go to, of the postseason bonuses, would go to higher paid players, with minimum salaried players receiving just $5,512. Although the proposal would keep a larger proportion of players close to their whole salaries, as I said before, about 65% make $1 million or less and would receive more than 80% of their prorated salaries, players young and old objected to the plan, which they believe runs in contrast to a March agreement with the league that they believe legislated that the players be paid their full prorated salaries upon the return of baseball. And again, that's fair. I mean, I think that's been one of the big sticking points, is the owners agreed to pay them their prorated salaries in March. And they knew at that time that it was incredibly likely they weren't going to have fans in the stands. And now they're coming back and saying, let's renegotiate that. while also crapping all over the players in public, trying to make the players look like the bad guys. I mean, there is real animosity here. They're building real animosity. They're culturing real animosity for now and down the road. I mean, we remember the strike in 94. We remember, you know, the Don Fear and that whole thing, and how much dislike there already is on both sides of this. This isn't going to make it better. I mean, this is only going to deepen the divide between the players and the owners long term. And again, I don't blame the players right now. They, to that point, like it said, they believe they legislated to be paid their full prorated salaries upon the return of baseball in March, an agreement the owners agreed to, and now they're turning around on that. So I don't know how you ever trust people like that in terms of this type of stuff moving forward, but frustrating. The article goes on. The league believes language in the deal calls for good faith negotiations with the union about the economic feasibility of playing with no fans, which MLB expects to do upon a return. The league initially considered proposing a 50-50 revenue split with the players, citing massive losses due to the coronavirus pandemic. MLBPA executive director Tony Clark immediately rejected the idea, equating it to a salary cap. A few players weighed in on it. A couple examples in the article. Marcus Stroman says the season is not looking promising. Keeping the mind and body ready regardless, time to dive into some life after baseball projects. Hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. Brighter times ahead. Brett Anderson said, interesting strategy of making the best, most marketable players potentially look like the bad guys. That's what I said. It's a weird move. I mean, I get why they're doing it. I think it's short-sighted. And Stroman saying, look, and again, you don't know what's posturing, what's public negotiating on. I'm sick and tired of the fact that that's been happening. This has all been a public negotiation. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. I'm so mad at the owners. I'm mad at the players now about it. I'm just mad at everybody. The article goes on, says in the March deal, the league agreed to pay players $170 million. Regardless of whether there's a season, the final payment to the players was due Sunday. Although there are no formal negotiations set, the players in the league are expected to reconvene at some point this week as a soft deadline approaches. For the league to get a 3 full weeks of spring training before an early July start date, an agreement would need to be struck in early June. So here's the thing. Again, you know how I feel about the owners. We don't need to dive deeper into that. I still believe that in the end, cooler heads will prevail and we will have a season, that the owners will cave more to a point where the players are willing to accept what the owners cave to. I can't believe the owners are crying poor here. I really can't. I can't get over it. I can't get over how many people defend them, how many people agree with it. You own the team. You assume risk. You have the ability to own the team for the next 50 years. Whereas a player has a finite amount of time to go out and make their money for their career, their life. You agreed to a deal in March, and now you're going back on that. You refuse to open your books and show the players exactly what you're making and exactly what a difference you really are losing. I mean, we're supposed to take your word. Oh, we're losing 40%. Really? Show them. Show them how you're losing 40%. Prove it. But again, in the end, I do think cooler heads will prevail. That Marcus Stroman tweet scares me, though. And just the general divide that is here scares me. As I've talked about many times, I truly believe if they can't come to an agreement, and NHL comes back, and NBA comes back, and NFL plows ahead, and it's not a health and safety thing, and it is a money thing that causes baseball not to play, I think it will do irreparable long-term damage to Major League Baseball. Again, there are a lot of people, me included. Look, I'm not going to stop watching baseball if they can't figure it out. I love baseball. It's too big a part of my life. Like, you know, I can't blame the sport forever for a moment in time that I strongly disagree with. But I do think there will be people who leave the sport. I think there will be people who say, I'm done. Screw this sport. I don't need it. Screw all these people. I think that's a possible thing. Like, again, people left after 94. That was way less of a big deal than this because of what's happening around us, what world we're living in right now. It is so incredibly frustrating and upsetting. And Rob Manfred, I think it is incumbent upon Rob Manfred to figure this out. I am putting this at the feet of Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred has done a below mediocre job so far as commissioner. A lot of people think he's a disaster. I think he's been bad. But, you know, I think he's had moments. Regardless, Rob Manfred's whole career has been based on negotiating. on making things happen. And that's who this guy is. And this is it, buddy. I mean, let's put it this way. If they don't have a season, I think he should be fired immediately. Like, peace, out, see ya, done. I'll take Bud Selig back, seriously. That's where I'm at. So you know how I feel. This is, Rob Manfred has not been commissioner long. We have no idea how long he will be commissioner. But he is facing the biggest thing he will ever face as commissioner right now. I think it's likely, at least. This is it. This is the moment. If they don't play, it's going to be you. I mean, people are going to be mad at the owners. They're going to be mad at the players. You're going to take the hit. I mean, they're all going to take the hit in the court of public perception. Like I said, people might stop watching baseball. People might leave the game. People might buy things. I think long-term, it's incredibly short-sighted what these people are doing. I mean, we're talking about years and years and years of making money in baseball. Baseball just record profits year after year after year after year. Everyone makes money in baseball. And you can't take 1 year where you take a hit? 1 year? 1 year? Of a hit? Seriously? It's so upsetting. Along those lines, too, article from ESPN, Aldin Gonzalez, another example of just the owners continuing to disappoint. The Oakland Athletics, feeling the financial crunch of a 2020 season that is yet to get off the ground, have implemented a system of furloughs and salary reductions that will impact the majority of their baseball operations department. Professional scouts will be furloughed next week, and amateur scouts will be furloughed shortly after the June 10-11 draft. In addition, about three-quarters of the A's player development staff is believed to be bracing for furloughs, which typically run through the end of October, industry sources said. Layoffs have not been implemented, but baseball operations employees who are not furloughed will face pay reductions. This is the big part. The A's also informed minor league players on Tuesday that they would not continue paying them $400 a week after the end of the month. Sources tell Jeff Passan. Athletics owner John Fisher wrote in a letter, "Baseball is more than a job, it is a way of life. People who work for our team and our family, our very foundation, and they work tirelessly to help the A's compete in this most precious game. COVID-19 has brought a tragic loss of life and sickness that to so many in our community has impacted us all in the ways we could have never imagined. Our organization, like so many others across the country, has to make tough and painful decisions." John Fisher is worth $2 billion. $2 billion. To pay his minor leaguers through the end of the season, it would cost him $1 million. $400 a week for the minor leaguers would cost him $1 million. $1 million. I don't even know what to say at this point. I mean, I really don't know what to say. I understand where we are as a country and what is happening, and there have to be salary cuts. People have to lose jobs. Like, I get it. I get it. It's business. I understand. Like, things happen. It sucks. I get it. But when we're talking about billionaires not being able to pay their minor league players $1 million for all of them, really? Really? He could pay it out of his pocket and not even miss it. He makes more than that in interest on things in a year. Like, what are we talking about here? It's crazy. And it's just, it's frustrating because you would hope that in this time, what is going on in America with everything that we are dealing with and all that, the baseball owners would step back and say, hey, you know what? I make so much money off the average American person. People who pay for parking. People who pay for beer and food. Oh, and coming to my games. And buying cable packages so they can watch my games and all that. All that stuff. That, hey, you know what? Maybe you take that for a year. We take that every year. That's what we do. And we're happy to do it. Because we love baseball. And we're happy to support it. Maybe it's your turn to take the hit. For a year. You could take the hit. I just, again, I can't get over how many people are defending the owners here. I can't get over it. And I think the players right now at this point, I'm sick of too. I'm sick of everybody involved. But the fact that in general, people are saying, oh, it's the players' fault, not the owners. It's anyone but the owners' fault. is an embarrassment. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand it. But hopefully, like I said, that cooler heads will prevail. That's all we can hope for. I'm praying that Rob Manfred can do something, that whoever is involved can do something to make cooler heads prevail, because not having baseball would be a disastrous, crushing blow for the sport. I believe that. So fingers crossed, I guess. Look, we'll continue to talk about this tomorrow. I'm sure the rest of this week, next week, until we know what's going on. Once we know what's going on, we'll continue to talk about it. And, you know, hopefully things get better, not worse. So, again, fingers crossed. And everyone stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll be back with more on this tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening to Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.